Well, if you would turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel once again, to Matthew chapter 13, where we'll take up the reading at verse 18 to the end of verse 33. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, and reading from verse 18 to the end of verse 33. This is the word of the Lord. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns, is he that heareth the word, the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word and become unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Amen, and may God add his blessing to that reading of his own precious word. Well, if you would turn, please, in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel one more time, Matthew chapter 13. And our text this evening is found in verses 31, 32 and 33. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. And when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Then, yet another parable. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. The growth of the kingdom. 2 parables together. The seed differs. It's not wheat this time, but it's a mustard seed, but it's still seed nonetheless. It's tiniest, it's a very, very tiny starch. The end of it's phenomenal, the end of it is incredible. That's the main point, the growth of the seed, the growth of the kingdom is the main point in both of these two parables. The power of the kingdom is not in worldly wisdom, it's not in the power of man to establish and to grow this kingdom. The power is in the seed. The power is in the message. The power is in the word of the cross. The power is in the message of the gospel. By the preaching of that word, by the sowing of that seed, by that means, which of course is insignificant to the world, which is folly, which is foolishness to them that are preaching, but is the power of God unto them that are being saved. The parable with regards to the leaven is more, of course, about inward growth, but it's still about growth nonetheless. The leaven is unsealed, it is hidden the meal, but it's still there, spreading and growing. Amazingly effective. And the word of God, the seed of the gospel, the word of the cross, the message of the gospel planted in the regenerate soul, not the unregenerate. With the unregenerate, it just bounces off them, it doesn't go in. The soil has to be prepared by sovereign and free grace. But the word planted, the engrafted word into the regenerate soul, brings about amazing, incredible change in the life and in the walk of the recipient. The seed and the leaven are exactly the same. The word of God proclaimed, preached, sown by the Lord Jesus Christ ultimately. So first of all, the first point this evening is the insignificant start. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, the least of all seeds. Remember the soils, and remember why it is that not everybody believes. The seed falls on barren ground, unprepared ground. It falls on the rocky soil, the stony ground, and of course it flourishes overnight, but it withers in the noonday sun. The cares of this life and of the world, people don't hear. The seed just bounces off their unprepared hearts. The soil is the reason, the state of the soil, condition of the soil is the reason why people don't believe. They hear the gospel, they hear the message in the same way that others do. But it bears no fruit because the heart has not been prepared by the grace of God. The tares, we see why the wicked, of course, in the parable of the tares, we saw why the wicked remain in the midst, that God's people have to live with the wicked and all their doings in the world to the end of time. There's a divine purpose for that, we saw. And of course, the message is, because these parables are given to the disciples, they're given for God's people, they're given for us. We mustn't be discouraged by these things. We mustn't be discouraged when we see the seed falling on bad soil. Of course, it doesn't bear fruit. And we wonder, don't we? Especially in these days that we're facing in England today. We do much preaching and we see very, very little true, real fruit for it. That's the reason. The grace of God has not prepared the hearts of the people who hear. You see, it's down to the sovereign will of God. We have to remember the issue of sovereignty that runs through the parable teaching. And then, of course, we mustn't be discouraged when we see the wicked in our midst, the evil doings in our society today, which of course are a great discouragement to us. But we remember, we remind ourselves the teaching of these parables, that God has a divine purpose in allowing the tares, the wicked, to remain in our midst. The disciples, because of these things, you see, were often impatient. They faced exactly the same temptations as we do. They were impatient and they began to take things into their own hands to manipulate the situation and to produce fruit by themselves. The most of Israel, the majority of the Jews, didn't believe. Just the same as England today, the majority of people don't believe. Israel didn't believe. They were full of enmity towards God, hatred towards the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course, they were just exactly the same with the disciples. And so they begin to think, they're tempted to think, the kingdom of God will never be realized. That the seed is falling onto ground and there's no fruit. We've got all this wickedness and evil amongst us. And so in their impatience, they start to take things into their own hands. Is that not exactly, beloved in Christ, what the church has done in England today? Instead of waiting upon the Lord for the fruit, instead of waiting upon God's sovereign operations, the church in its impatience takes things into its own hands and starts to use all kinds of gimmicks in order to attract people into churches and into the kingdom of God. So we must not be discouraged. That's the reason why we're given these parables, to teach us how God operates in his saving purposes. There is a false view concerning this parable, and of course it connects with our teaching in the book of Revelation at this moment in the Sabbath mornings. That of post-millennialism is not only a false view, it is a dangerous view. Post-millennialism sees this parable of the mustard seed, sees the seed as being the church. The church, the early church, starts off very small and it grows and it grows and it grows, and at the end you've got a Christianized world, a world full of Christians when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Well, that's a false view and it's a dangerous view. Remember the parable of the soils. The Lord Jesus says that the gospel will be preached, the seed will be sown, and not everybody will believe. There'll be many who don't believe. There'll be more who don't believe. And remember the parable of the tares too. He says that there'll be wicked. The wicked will be there amongst us right to the very end of the age. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, as we saw this Sabbath morning, he comes in the midst of a war. He comes in judgment, not to a Christianized world. And we are told that the end, we are told in the Bible elsewhere, we are told that the end is that of apostasy. If you turn to 2 Thessalonians, to chapter 2 and verse 3, there the Holy Apostle, he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You see, a falling away at the end, apostasy at the end, not a Christianized world. And then, well, if you turn to Luke's Gospel, and to Luke chapter 18, and to verse 8, the Lord Jesus says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He doesn't answer the question. Of course, it's logical, it's a rhetorical question, and the answer is, well, it'll be very hard for him to find faith because of the falling away, the apostasy at the end. I say it's a dangerous false view. Why? Because the danger is that you see with this post-millennial view, people working, people toiling to bring about a Christianized world, I think that there will be some who will awaken too late and realize that they are working on the wrong side, they are working towards the wrong kingdom, the kingdom of the beast, the Antichrist, and not the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So it's not just a matter of a difference of opinion, it's a matter of truth and heresy. The seed, the mustard seed, is not the church. The seed, the mustard seed, is the word of God in all the parables and in all the teaching of the Bible and Scripture. The seed is the word of God, not the church. And Christ, of course, establishes and he grows the kingdom. He preaches through the church, through the ordained ministry of the instituted church. He, Jesus Christ, ultimately, through the church, he preaches, he's the sower ultimately, and he brings about the establishment of and the growth of the kingdom. Because the kingdom, you see, is from above. It's the kingdom's spiritual, it's not an earthly kingdom, and it will not be realized on earth in this present dispensation. It will not be realized by human power. It is Christ who accomplishes the kingdom by his word and by his spirit, no other way. Men strive to build a better world. They form things like the European Union and the United Nations and of course they're going to make the world a better place. They're going to bring peace on earth. They're going to rid the world of disease and sickness and famine. All that is contrary to the word of God. The poor you will always have amongst you, says Jesus. There will be wars and rumors of wars. It's an impossibility. It's against the divine purpose. But the church too, you see, locks into, connects with this worldly agenda to Christianize culture by political means. That is not the calling of the Church of God of Jesus Christ. Our task is to preach the Word of God, the message of the kingdom. The force of the seed, you see. The power of the seed, it falls sovereignly here and there. The sower goes out, the preacher goes out. Maybe out in the city centre, a town, a marketplace somewhere, a church building. Like this evening, and he's scattering the seed everywhere. And a seed falls here and it falls there, sovereignly by the will of God, into the heart, into the soil, prepared by the grace of God. And it is through the ministry of Christ. I mean, you see it in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, his own converts. All the time. For this reason came I forth, he says in Mark's Gospel in chapter 1. He goes from town to town, and what's he doing? He's preaching the kingdom of God. For this reason, he says, I came forth. He doesn't go marching to Rome. He doesn't go protesting against the world power that's centered in Rome. He doesn't go knocking on Caesar's door saying, we want an end of the infanticide in Israel. We want an end of Roman rule in Israel. We want you Romans out. No protests. None of this. No lobbying of the Roman government. For this I came forth, he says, to preach the kingdom of God. And now, just as then, the message of the cross is hated and despised. But it's preached enough in every generation and in everywhere that God sends it, where God permits, and it's not permitted everywhere, There are some people in some nations that never get to hear the gospel. What a privilege is yours tonight. What a privilege is your nation's. Some never get to hear the message of the kingdom, but where God sends it and it's preached enough to bring about the kingdom of God as God sovereignly desires it to be. Sometimes it's hardly heard. Sometimes it's just a whisper on the lead up to the Reformation. It was just a whisper here and there. Very few people in Europe heard the preaching of the gospel. And even now today in England, it is diminishing. Once it was a great cry. The noise of the gospel filled the whole nation of the United Kingdom. And now it's diminishing and diminishing, and soon it will just be a whisper, and so it will be in the end. You will hardly hear the voice of the gospel at all. In the midst of that apostasy, that falling away, an insignificant start. And then secondly, the invisible growth. Verse 33, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole is leavened. The woman, she's making some bread, and she takes 3 lumps of sour dough, and she puts it in the rest of the dough, and she leaves it to ferment, and gradually it works through all the entirety of the dough. Now, when she's done the work, when she's put the sourdough into the rest of the dough, she doesn't see what's happening. Yeah? She stands back and she looks at it. What conclusions does she come to? That the bread has failed? That she's failed to produce bread? No, she doesn't. What does she do? She can't see anything that's happening. It looks just the same. But in confidence, she waits patiently, trusting that eventually, in time, there will be bread. Well, the preaching of the kingdom, the preaching of the word of God, the sowing of the seed, is exactly the same. It's invisible, but its effect is powerful. You see? The sower goes forth and he sows. The preacher goes out and he preaches. He preaches in the church, and maybe he goes home and he sits in his study and he thinks to himself, I preached in vain. I've accomplished absolutely nothing. Just like the woman looking at the bread, he can't see anything. Go back to the beginning of the chapter, verse 1, when the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So they went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he began to preach to them. Now you can't see what's happening. All you see is a multitude of people listening to a preacher. The word of God, the word of the kingdom, is being declared to them. What's happening? You cannot see. Invisible things are happening. Guilt is flying away. Sins are being loosed, cancelled their power. Men and women are being reborn, becoming members of the kingdom of God. It's invisible, you can't see it, but it's happening. And when the word of the kingdom is preached, the hearts of God's people, the hearts of the elect, by the Holy Spirit, you see, are being worked upon like the seed. Small start, just a small beginning, but invisible power has been implanted in that regenerate heart and begins to work in both the saint and in the church, and there is growth in both of them. You don't always see it. You're not always aware of it, but it's happening. Not by might. Not by might, beloved, is the kingdom of God established and grown. Not by might, that's the world's way. It uses forces to bring about its kingdom. It uses armies. It uses legislation. We will bring in laws. And we will... Isn't that what every political party tells you at election time? We will make legislation and we will bring down all the crime figures. Huh? Not what they promise, but they never accomplish it. We will raise up armies and we will make sure that there are no more wars. Yeah? The social problems on housing estates, they take money and they throw money at it. Drugs, science, philosophy, the sword, human ingenuity to build the kingdom of this world. But what happens? Look at Syria tonight. War, death, bloodshed, and carnage. Look at the graveyards. Visit your local graveyards and see that every one's full. Look at your jails. Look at your prisons. Overflowing with criminals, AIDS, every kind of disease known to man. A testimony to the failure of the world's way and system. Not by might, not by these means, says God, but by my spirit through the preaching of the kingdom of God. The world's religion is a sham. It's Christless, it's powerless, and therefore it is unproductive. It cannot produce life. The world cannot produce life. All it can produce is death, death, nothing but death. Every news bulletin, every newspaper you pick up, death on every page. Nothing but death. That's all that they can produce. Only one person who can produce life. And the one who terms himself as the resurrection and the life. He alone can give life. 70 years 70 years. And then maybe one or two more by the grace of God. Yeah. That's the lot of us all. And then we go like all the rest, like all flesh, we go the same way. There will never be any cure for, any real cure for disease, beloved in Christ, until there is a cure for sin. There cannot be peace in this world. There cannot be peace in our society. There cannot be peace in our homes. There cannot be peace in your heart until there is peace with God. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And the only place that peace can be found is at Golgotha, is at Calvary. Only the silent, small, insignificant, and often despised power of the gospel can work these things in the hearts and lives of a person or people. Only that. Only the gospel. The word of the gospel, the word of the kingdom, only the word of the cross can bring the kingdom of God to a man or to a woman's heart. All Elijah's miracles couldn't do it. All the miracles that he performed on Mount Carmel didn't change Israel one whit. He challenged them. Decide for yourselves. Don't halt between two opinions. If God be God, then serve him. If Baal be Baal, then serve Baal. He challenged them. He brought fire down from heaven. A miraculous ministry. It never shifted Israel one whit. Oh, people tell you they're liars. They say, show me a miracle. If I was to see a miracle, then I would believe. No, they wouldn't. If they don't, won't believe the word of the kingdom, they will not believe at all. No change in Elijah's ministry. That's why we find them under that tree, bleating and weeping. No better than my father's, he says to the Lord. Enough, take my life away. And the Lord comes to him and speaks to him. But the word's not in the fire. The word's not in the wind. It's a still, small voice. It's the word of the Lord. Despised and rejected by the most of Israel. But it worked powerfully. It worked irresistibly in 7,000 in Israel. I've got 7,000, says the Lord. You're not the only one left, Elijah. I've got 7,000. I've always got 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And how's that performed? How's that worked? By the word, by the still small voice, by the word of the gospel, that's how. Because the seed of this world planted in the regenerate heart must bear fruit. It cannot do anything else. As a weed through concrete. You ever seen that? I noticed just the other week we were driving to church. I'm coming along that A50 and there's this great big bridge, you know. Traffic is over and there's this great big concrete wall. Big sheer concrete, you know. And right in the middle of it, this one herb poking through the concrete. Not even all that concrete could stop the life of the seed. Huh? When the seed of God's kingdom is planted in somebody's soul, in the life of somebody, it must bear fruit. If there's no fruit, it's because there's been no grace. And you can labour. And you can labour. There are men who preach in churches where there's no life. There's no life, and I tell you, they labour in vain. They labour in vain. They're looking for fruit, but they'll never find fruit. Not until there's life. But I tell you this, where there is the grace of God, where there is the grace of life, yeah, they might be in a poor state, they might be shambolic, they might be rebellious, they might be all kinds of things, their worship might be all over the place, they might need reforming, but I tell you, where there's life, they will respond to the preaching of the kingdom. They will. Where there's life, there's hope. But where there's no life, you labour in vain. The power of the gospel, the Holy Spirit, works within and produces that fruit of which we speak. You can't see it. You can't see it. But you trust patiently, like the woman who has sowed the sourdough in the leaven, you know, in the dough. She sits back and she waits and she trusts patiently that there will eventually be bread. And so we preach the word of God. We look at people, we say, we can't see any growth. No, you can't see it. You don't know what's happening inside, but there will. If there's life there, there will be growth. We wait patiently, we trust the Lord, and we continue to preach and to minister the message of the kingdom. Because that word is the primary means of grace. That is the means that God has ordained for the salvation of his people. And that's why we must never, never despise the preaching of the gospel. That is the primary means that God uses to grow Christians, to purify, to renew their hearts, to renew saints, and to renew his church. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Not just to bring us to salvation, but to grow us up in our salvation and bring us to completeness. Thirdly, the incredible end. Wearied by unbelief. It's our situation today in England. No, it is. Wearied by unbelief, the church turns to the world's methods. Brings in the musics, the bugles and the drums, you know, and everything else, and all the other gimmicks of which we've spoken in the past, and no confidence in the word of God, no confidence in the preaching. It's at an all-time low. Despondency in the life of the church, the believer, believers, they become impatient, and so they substitute the seed for something else. But it won't bring the kingdom. You can do what you want. There's many things that you could do, beloved in Christ, to fill this room. You could fill it in a fortnight if you do the right things, but it won't bring the kingdom of God to people. It's only the preaching of God's word that will do that. It's only the seed that will produce the kingdom of God. Our expectations, you see, they need to be real, so real. You know, on earth, in this dispensation, the seed produces an herb. Some people, they've asked the question, apparently they've said, why did Jesus use a mustard seed? Because that only grows up into a herb, not into a tree. Maybe if he'd used the figure of an acorn, you know, an acorn sowed, and that would grow up into a great big oak tree. That misunderstands, you see, the whole intention of the parable, because the kingdom is ever small, is always small, and is always insignificant in the eyes of the world. See the term megachurch? That's contrary. That's contrary to the kingdom of God and the teaching of the gospel. If you turn over to, again, to Luke's gospel, to Luke chapter 12, where the Lord Jesus, speaking, of course, to his disciples, he says there in chapter 12 and verse 32, fear not, little flock. Yeah? Fear not, little flock. You see, the kingdom of God on earth, in this dispensation, is ever small and always in the eyes of the world, with all its power and glory, and all its force, and all its gifts. The church, the kingdom of God, you see, is always insignificant in the eyes of the world. But it's established, and it grows, and it produces holiness, peace, and joy, and love in the hearts of God's people, those whom God's hearts he has graced. All the things, holiness, peace, joy, love, yes, those are the things that the world wants. But the world wants them apart from God. The world wants them apart from Jesus Christ. They want love, they want joy, they want peace. Oh, that we could have peace. Oh, you can have it. Bow the knee to King Jesus. Don't want it that way. Don't want that. They want it apart from God. They want the kingdom without God. And so they never get it. But the kingdom of God on earth, beloved in Christ, is right on time. Always on time. Always. And God's time. And it penetrates all parts of the life of the saint. Paul says to us in Philippians 1 verse 6, he which hath begun this good work in you, he who graced your heart and planted the seed of the kingdom in your heart, you can have confidence in this one thing, he says, that he, God, who began this work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, when he comes again in his glory. Beloved, please be confident that you look at yourself. You see, I can't see any change in me. I can't see growth in me. I can't see the godliness. I can't see the holiness. I keep stumbling and falling. I'm not making the progress that I should. You will. God will see to it. The seed of the kingdom penetrates all parts of the life of the saint, and all parts of the church. That applies to the church too. God will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, when he comes again. We have bodies of death, says Paul in Romans chapter 7. Who shall deliver me, he says, after 30 years on the Christian pilgrimage? Who shall deliver me from this body of death, he says? Struggling up the hill. Just like Pilgrim in the Progress, you know? But beloved in Christ, if you're a Christian here tonight, you're not what you once were. No, you're not what you should be. You're not what you will be. And critics, there are many. That's very easy. Many people will criticize you. Many of your brothers and sisters will point out your faults to you. You're not what you once were. You're not what you will be. But God will make sure you will arrive there right on time. God's timing. You'll get there. He'll see to it. Nothing will stop it. God's ultimate purpose. Romans chapter 8, that wonderful chapter of the Bible. God's ultimate purpose that every one of His children should be conformed to the likeness of His Son. That will be performed. God will do it. Filthy in sin. Ridden with guilt. But God. Turn to the book of Ephesians. It always, this thrills my soul every time I read it. This black, black, awful picture that Paul paints here in Ephesians chapter 2. And you are He quickened, he says, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Then we go over to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1, and there at verse 9. The Thessalonians were idolaters, yeah, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What brought about that turning? What brought about that change? It was the preaching of the kingdom of God. The seed of God's word. The preaching of the kingdom, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the word of God, the primary means of grace, removes the old and makes the new come, makes us like Christ. And it's all on schedule, God's time, on target. The kingdom grows through the age, through the dispensation. And in the consummate kingdom, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again in His glory, this kingdom will be like a mighty tree. It will be like a mighty tree. Then it will be universal. Then it will. It will fill the world. It will fill the earth. The wicked will be destroyed. The tares will be gathered up and they will be thrown into the fire. The wheat, the mustard seed will be drawn into His barn. Not in this earthly age. Not in this dispensation. In the age to come. not a Christianized world in this dispensation in the age to come. Because God's plan is far greater than that of the post-millennial dream to Christianize culture and to Christianize the world. God's plan is to redeem, is to reconcile the entirety of creation. All of creation will be reconciled to God through the blood of the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ. Because the whole universe is out of sync. All creation's been affected, cursed because of sin. And it will all reconciled to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, by the Word of God, by the preaching of the Kingdom of God, the Word of the Kingdom, the Word of the Gospel, the Word of the Cross. Oh yeah, God's going to save the human race. Not every man and woman and child head for head, but the race of people. God so loved the world, John 3:16. The race of people, the world of those that believe in Jesus. The world that is sovereignly, eternally elected and chosen by God before the foundation of the world. And a mighty host. A mighty host that no man could number. An innumerable company of people out of every tribe, tongue and nation throughout the world. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Reborn of the Spirit of God. And the Kingdom of God will be all in all. You see, an insignificant start. You look and you see God's doing nothing, you say, you complain. Tiny little group of people here at Full Chapel is an entity, it's insignificant, even to some of your bigger churches. Doesn't matter if it closes overnight to them. God is building His kingdom amongst us. And His word will have the victory. As we saw this morning, the ultimate conquest belongs to King Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen.